I'm excited to be here in San Jose. You notice that everybody is introducing me as Cedric because the second name is difficult. So I'll just leave it there. So before I start, just a little bit of housekeeping. I used to be a professor some time back, and every semester I would tell my students at the beginning of the semester, I would say my voice trails down. When I start getting tired, it goes down too. So if you are at the back and you see my voice trailing, just raise up your hand. Tonight we are talking about unity. This weekend, actually, we want to talk about unity and discipleship. And tonight I want to talk about unity in discipleship. So the theme for the weekend is unity and discipleship, but I want to talk about unity in discipleship. When they told me to speak on unity and discipleship, and I started studying the topic, one thing that surprised me was that everywhere in the Bible where they talk about discipleship, maybe most places, they also talk about unity. What is the connection? I mean, why can't we just be good disciples and forget about the unity part? It's possible, isn't it? And so what does unity mean? So I tried in my studies to try to understand why we bring in unity in the discipleship. And I was so much interested in the word unity. I was born in a country called Malawi, that's in Southeast Africa. I always tell people that it's 2 hours from Johannesburg, Northeast, because it's very insignificant country. But if I say it's 2 hours from Johannesburg, Northeast, close to Zambia and Tanzania, people know that country. And if you know that country, we became independent in 1964 from the British rule. And after independence, we had what they call a dictator, and it was a dictatorship. And the dictator used to emphasize unity. And so Malawi, he said, is founded on four cornerstones: unity, loyalty, obedience, and discipline. And he would have emphasized unity. And you know, in a dictatorship, they do a lot of terrible things. A lot of people were imprisoned without trial for just saying something about the dictator. When you are speaking and you're referring to him and you don't say the whole title, which was His Excellency Ngwazi Dr. H. Kamuzubanda, the Lion of Malawi, if you don't say all those things, you could be imprisoned. And they did all this and they would say, it's because of unity we are doing this. You know, so so if you go to Malawi today and speak to people who are old enough to remember the dictatorship, and you bring up unity, they'll be a little bit apprehensive about it because they don't know what next you want to talk about. So it turns out Jesus is also interested in unity, but it's a different kind of unity, one that comes from a free heart, a willing heart. It's not one that you enforce by killing people or imprisoning people. And we see him again and again emphasizing unity, especially in the prayer that he made towards the end of his ministry in John 17. He talked a lot about prayer. And even before, a few chapters after that, before John 17, we see Jesus emphasizing prayer in John 13 at the Last Supper. We see him washing his disciples' feet. And he says, I am your Lord, I'm your master, I'm washing your feet. And you also should go and wash each other's feet. In a way, he's emphasizing love and unity among the disciples as a very important part of his work. And again, in chapter 14, we see him talking about leaving the disciples, going to heaven to prepare a place for them. But he says, when I am gone, I'll send the Holy Spirit, one Holy Spirit, for everybody. He's going to teach you. He's going to lead you. In a way, it's unity again. People working together, having one leader. And then we see again in chapter 15, he comes back to the concept of unity again, but this time he says it in a different way. He says, I'm the vine and you're the branches. And you can't survive on your own. You have to be connected to me. Now, understand what's going on here. There are many branches. They are all connected to one vine. It's the same concept of unity in the work of God. So this is very important to him. And in chapter 17, John chapter 17, and he prays a prayer. It's a different kind of prayer, because we've seen Jesus teach us the Lord's Prayer, what we call the Lord's Prayer. It's precise, concise, you know. It's not repetitive. It's not going around. It's concise. We've seen Jesus multiply the fish and loaves of bread, and it was a short, concise prayer. But in John 17, you see a person who is burdened by the concept of unity, because he keeps going back. It's a very interesting prayer. It sort of goes around in circles. John chapter 17, verse 20, and I'll read it. But if you want to look at it, that's, you know, I watched the camp meeting, so I learned this one thing, that when you preach and you mention a verse, you should give people time to find. See, I guess I'm going to have to delay a little bit here. Anyway, John 17, verse 20. He said, my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. I've given them the glory that you have given me, that they may be as one as we are one, I in them, you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved me, even as you have loved, and you have sent me and have loved them, even as you have loved me. So see how he puts it. When we are in him and he's in God and we are all together, that brings us to complete unity, and the world will know that the Father sent him. In verse 24, he continues, Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am, and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I've made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for them may be in them, and I myself may be in them. So we see him struggling with what will happen to the body of Christ when he is gone, the importance of unity, praying to God that people be united. And even after Jesus left, the disciples and the apostles continued on the theme of unity in discipleship. It is as if we can do anything without unity. In Ephesians, writing to Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 to 13, so Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we reach unity in faith. Now, Paul is actually presenting unity in the body of Christ as something, as the ultimate, as something we should all strive for. Now, that our mission is not complete until we have reached that unity. And in Colossians 3, chapter 13, he says, bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against somebody. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, and over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. It's the same theme the apostles too keep coming to. Peter says in 1 Peter 3 verse 8, finally all of you be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate, and be humble. So it's a work. We know it's a work we can't complete if we are not unified. But then I go back to my earlier question, why is unity important in discipleship? Perhaps we get more insight from the meaning of that word, discipleship. Who is a disciple? English is not my first language, you've noticed already. And many times, I think I know the meaning of the word until somebody asks me to define it. And it was the same thing with the word disciple. When Jan told me about discipleship and unity, of course, the first thing was, what is discipleship and unity? And I found out that I don't really know what discipleship means. So I went to literature and tried to investigate this. And I found something very interesting. So they say an apostle, a disciple is different from an apostle. You know, an apostle is some... he's a messenger. It's more general. He's a messenger. So God sent him to Los Angeles to preach the word. It's an apostle. But he's different from a disciple. Now, disciple is more like a student, but not the student that we know. I mean, all of us go to school. We listen to what the teacher says, and then we study that, and we write an exam. But that's not discipleship. It's just part of it. A disciple is somebody, they say, I have a quote here, a quotation here from the famous first century philosopher Seneca. And he is talking about the concept of discipleship. And he talks about the disciples of Socrates. And he says, Plato, Aristotle, and the whole throng of sages who were destined to go each his different way, derived more benefit from the character than the ways of Socrates. A disciple is a person who not only learns, but he seeks to transform himself to be like the master. Now, did you catch that? Why unity is important in discipleship? Unity is not a separate part of discipleship. It's a consequence of discipleship. Because we have one master, and if all of us try to transform ourselves to be like that master, what happens? We are all united. So that's why it's very important. Jesus said this actually in Matthew 23, verse 8. He said, "For you have one teacher, and you are all brothers." Because you have one teacher, you are all brothers. And Justin actually gave us this verse today, Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. So in Christ Jesus, you're all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ. Unity. When we strive to be good disciples, we become unified and great things happen. Remember when Jesus left, Acts 2 verse 1, he said they were in one room with one accord. What happened? The Holy Spirit came. So I pray that as we contemplate this important theme of unity and discipleship this weekend, that God will be with us and he will draw us together. Amen.